Let's begin with Governor Mike Beebe. He offers an hour-long talk this week on AETN, talks a lot about taxes and strains on the state budget. Is he going to have his hands full in this next legislative session protecting some of this sacred ground, or does he charm these headstrong legislators who want all these tax cuts into seeing things his way?
Well, he's definitely going to have a more challenging session than he's ever had before. His first term, he's been able to, even though he's had a little bit of a fight on some issues, he's been able to get mostly just about everything he's wanted out of the legislature. This time around, he's going to be dealing with a legislature where Democrats still hold a majority, but Republicans will have their largest numbers since Reconstruction. And also, he's going to be fighting with them a little bit more on tax cuts. His focus is still on reducing the sales tax on groceries. Republicans, however, want to see if there's room for other tax cuts as well. And Beebe, in his balanced budget proposal, has said that there's no room for any other tax cuts other than the grocery tax. So that's going to be one of the main areas where you're going to see kind of give and take between them right now.
Well, Beebe stopped short of saying it this bluntly, but he basically said in that interview, no new taxes. And that kind of kills a legislative solution to Sheffield Nelson's severance tax hike idea that he's been floating again. It also kind of puts the brakes on a Blue Ribbon Highway panel's plans for meeting road needs. Let's take the severance tax first. Does Sheffield Nelson go the initiative route and try to get a popular vote on this?
It sounds like that's the option that he may hold out for. Sheffield Nelson, this is very similar to what he did 2 years ago. He was really the one who got the ball rolling on the severance tax increase 2 years ago, and basically had put out his idea and basically was able to be kind of the bad cop to Beebe's good cop. He had the 7% proposal with no exemptions that really rankled the natural gas industry, and that really gave Beebe leverage to be able to negotiate with the natural gas companies and say, well, if you don't like this idea, let's work out an idea that works out better. And that's how we got the current rate now, the 5% with some exemptions. He says he's going to start shopping the idea of the 7% tax on natural gas to legislators and see if there's any support for it. But he says that if there's not, he may go the initiated act route again. And it sounds like this time around, Beebe, given the fact that he's basically said he doesn't really see this being the environment for tax increases, I don't really think they're going to be working in tandem the same way that you saw 2 years ago.
Sheffield Nelson's certainly been in the headlines lately, not only for that severance tax hike, but also he's been stirring up matters with the Game and Fish Commission, which he used to sit on. What do you think is driving all of this from him?
It's hard to tell. Sheffield Nelson is definitely someone who, in political circles, he's a household name. The severance tax, you never really got a sense of exactly why he wanted to do it, what the vested interest was in it. But for some reason has decided to be very outspoken about it. Game and Fish Commission, is something that he has a history with. And it's really turned into, a very personal and very kind of heated battle between him and the current leadership at Game and Fish Commission. That may seep into the legislative session next year, where you're going to see legislators really looking at the Game and Fish Commission, looking at their independence, and Sheffield really raising his conflict with the commission is really going to keep that at the forefront during the session.
All right, back on highways. Is the no tax sentiment from the governor and pretty much everywhere else, the legislators and everyone, going to make people question why they even put that Blue Ribbon panel together in the first place?
I think you may see that from some legislators, especially when they look at the price tag of what it costs to have this commission put together, the meetings that they did, the contracts that they had. John Paul Capps, the chairman of the commission, of the committee, basically said that even if there's not any action taken next year, this is still a roadmap and still gives some idea of what to do in the future. The one idea among the proposals that they had that may get the most traction, or at least may not be dead on arrival, is the idea of the constitutional amendment for a bond program, basically taking the issue to the voters. Basically, there are a lot of legislators who may not be willing to vote for a tax increase, but may be willing to at least refer the matter to voters and say to them, if you want better highways, are you willing to pay for it? We're not hearing folks say as adamantly no to that as we are to some of the other tax increase proposals. So that may be the idea that may have the most legs out of this recommendation.
Well, now, no new taxes is going to play into this, too. There's a proposal floating between business and labor to raise an employment tax, actually a tax on employers, to cover unfunded unemployment benefits and federal government debt. All of this brought about by higher unemployment that we've seen for about 2 years, a little bit longer. The governor's words have got to kill that pursuit, don't you think?
The governor has said he's hopeful that business leaders and labor can find some kind of compromise together, and he says he wants to see this addressed in the session, because if the state doesn't address it, then the feds they'll address it on their own. And he said he'd rather have the state basically be the master of its own fate. Part of the problem, though, is figuring out which side is willing to give more. State Chamber of Commerce has proposed something that would effectively raise taxes on businesses to go into the unemployment trust fund, but also cut unemployment benefits. Labor leaders, the AFL-CIO, has said that they're fine with the taxes going up for businesses, but they don't really see this as being the right time to cut benefits for unemployment. They said that they're willing to look at other changes to benefits, but cutting benefits is not one of them.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. Next subject, Representative Rick Saunders says he'll leave the District 24 seat when his term expires in early January. That's going to clear the way for a special election to be called. This has been kind of a political hot potato for a couple of weeks now. All sides, Saunders, the governor, Democrats, Republicans, they seem pretty satisfied with his decision. Were you surprised by the outcome?
Not necessarily a surprise, but there was a little bit of suspense, a little bit of hand-wringing over how this would be done. Saunders basically was in a position where if he had wanted to stay through 2012, the Attorney General had said legally he'd be able to do that. There are Republicans and there are others who said that there'd be a problem with that. They basically saw that as an end run around term limits, letting him stay in office that much longer. The flip side was that Saunders was worried that District 24 would be without representation during the legislative session next year. Saunders, as you said yesterday, announced that he will resign the first week of January. He won't sit in the 88th General Assembly. But one of the issues now is how quickly can a special election be called? There's a good chance that District 24 will not have a representative for most, if not all, of the legislative session. And that was one of the factors that went into his decision, one of the concerns that he had, and one of the reasons why he had been deliberating on it.
Let's turn to the lottery. The lottery's administrators have kind of taken their lumps in the past week. A very damaging audit report showed some loose internal controls, not following some state procedures, some expenses that were a little bit out of line. The governor's indicated that he is frustrated with lottery management. Stopped not far short of calling for Director Ernie Pasley's dismissal, as a matter of fact. What's your take on all this lottery business and how it's playing out?
Well, it's a very difficult position that the lottery is in and that Ernie Pasley is in. Because on the one hand, Pasley can point to a lot of successes that the lottery has had. They've raised more than $113 million in money for college scholarships. He was able to get it up and running in what some people called a record amount of time. But on the other hand, there have been things like the legislative audit and the findings that was really a scathing report. And there have been other missteps in the past, too. Going back to the high pay that he and other top officials got when the lottery first started up. And it's getting to a point right now where everyone from the lottery commission to lawmakers to even Governor Beebe now, they're really having to ask themselves, are these successes worth the headaches that seem to come along with Pasley's leadership? And you've got some lawmakers and some commissioners saying, no, it's not worth it. Commissioner Joe White had said earlier this week that he's not at the point that he's ready to ask for Pasley's resignation, but he said he's not ruling it out yet. He said he doesn't have a lot of confidence in him. Another commissioner had said that he found the audit appalling. The chairwoman, Diane Lamberth, chairwoman of the Lottery Commission, has said that she doesn't think it warrants his termination. But she also went out of her way to, going before an oversight committee this week, to say that they understand what the problems are and that they're going to address them, and that they realize they can't point to a learning curve anymore, that they have to address these problems and show that they're tackling them quickly.
Okay, highways, tax cuts, prison overcrowding, just a few of the fun topics legislators and the governor are going to have to deal with this January. Which issue do you think dominates, and is there an issue that you think is being overlooked that kind of sneaks up on folks?
Yeah, I think tax cuts, I think, are going to end up being the dominant issue during the session. You look at 2 years ago, we were in a different economic climate. You still had lawmakers propose more than $850 million in tax cuts, exemptions, and credits. That number, could end up seeming kind of minor compared to the tax cuts we may see proposed for this session. From Beebe's grocery tax cut to Ed Garner's proposal to cut the capital gains tax to proposals to cut the tax on used cars. I think there's going to be a lot of efforts to see what taxes can be cut, and from the governor's perspective, what would have to be cut in state government to pay for them. Issues that I don't think are getting as much attention right now. You mentioned prison overcrowding. It's getting some attention. We heard Governor Beebe talk about it last night. I think prisons and prison reform is really going to be an issue that we're going to see come up a lot more during the session next year. The prison population has doubled, I think, over the past 10 or 20 years. And, there's just not room, not enough money right now, and the state's going to have to figure out what to do with sentencing. Also, I think schools, school funding, school reform, we're still going to see that issue come up to some degree. Consolidation, I think we're going to see another attempt to go after, from some rural lawmakers to change the consolidation law. You've got a lot of lawmakers coming in who weren't here during Lakeview and who weren't here during the school funding fights who really want to take another look at it. And I think that's going to be an issue that's going to come up.